When you feel your voice is not being heard, please consider calling the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. The show wants to be the vehicle you can use to express your opinion or get your issue out to a larger audience. We're living in a time that we can no longer allow others to speak on our behalf. If you wish to be a guest on the show and discuss on the show what's important to you, call James T. Deshaies at 407-394-9819. Your issue or focus can be placed on the calendar. The show is live 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadow of life. It's imperative that we're on top of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future.
This is your host, James T. Deshaies, of Thought, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know I'm always glad to be here and ready to share my opinion with you about a host of different topics, and today is no different. So I look forward to our conversation.
USI Never Had It So Good, 101.1 Radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music, The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday, talk radio with the best host in the business, sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper, Never Had It So Good Radio now on 101.1, and it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
You know, we live in a wild time right now where sometimes you think you're making progress, and then you take a few steps forward. Some exciting things happen, like us electing Barack Obama as president, and we think we're coming closer and closer together as a nation. And then after we think we're making some headway, we are taken back by the fact that Donald Trump is a serious possibility as our next president. And how down will that be after being up so high with the class act of Barack Obama as our president and Michelle Obama as our first lady and his kids? How would that be a step down to find ourselves with Donald Trump in the White House? And today I just want to share with some things with you that did not take place in the 1960s. These are some things that are happening right now, and this is just one of those things. And I just want to talk to you about, you know, race relations and how do we deal with some of the ugliness that people are starting to feel very comfortable with coming out of their mouths and some of their behaviors. And this particular audio that I'm going to share with you, it shows that the behavior of an out-of-control white female, but the male man was very much in control. And it's hard to believe that he was able to stay composed as this takes place. So I want you to listen very carefully.
All right, ma'am, I'm going to have to go, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Give me the cards back.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Why are you calling me the end, ma'am?
Because you're acting like a moron. Give me the cards back.
I can't, ma'am.
Call me a nigger. I don't care.
Oh,
give me the cards back.
Ma'am, I'm not going to call you names.
Well, I think that's food on me to my teeth. Could you give me the card back?
I can't, ma'am. I can't. You verified it, and you verified that was...
If I take it, I sign for it. If I don't take it, I don't. And I'm going to give it back to you because I don't want it. There's no money involved,
ma'am,
here.
Ma'am...
Give it back to me.
I cannot do this, ma'am. Ma'am, I'm late for all the mails. I mean, for all the customers. I have to deliver their mail. You're holding me up.
They'll kill you.
Why you would have killed me, ma'am?
I don't, but they will.
Who?
White people.
White people?
I'm not doing what I need you to do right now.
Now,
please, just give me back.
Ma'am, why you slap me, ma'am? Why you slap me, ma'am?
You're taking things off, you idiot.
Ma'am, why are you slapping me?
Why do you want to do this? You killed Martin Luther King. You niggas turn on each other. You stupid. You turn on me. I'm your
leader.
You're dumb.
Ma'am.
You're gonna all go under.
Why
I
you,
can't.
Why you slap me, ma'am?
Because I want my fucking thing.
But you didn't have to hurt me, ma'am.
You're being dumb. I'm not hurting you. You're hurting me. I'm standing out in the cold and the wet with my socks on trying to get my card back. I don't want the letter.
Why you slap me, ma'am?
I am not slapping you. Don't admit your wife slapped you. Take the letter. I don't want the letter and I want my card back.
I don't believe you're doing this to me. I don't believe this. Why you call me a thief?
Because you won't give me the cards back.
I can't give you the cards back, ma'am.
You know what those people are doing?
Yes. What they're doing. What they are doing, ma'am. I mean, I don't know them.
I educate you so fast so that you'd understand. The black women are against the black men because they've been exploited so much. They're with the Hitler-esque people. They're with the white people. They work against black men underneath it all. There are very few white women who've had the strength to work for the black man.
Can you give me a chance to call my employer before you slap me again?
I cannot, and you're going to turn on me, and then...
I'm not going to turn on you, ma'am. I just deliver your mail, and you slap me.
But your IQs are lower, and so therefore the people who need to help you, you don't believe in. Because you've been kept from being educated in the norm stream for so many years, but the other people forged ahead, and it's true. You have to understand this. My mother taught in a black school, okay? I looked at all the IQ scores of the kids. Well, listen to me. She taught at a black
school. Ma'am, I don't want to hear that story.
It's true.
The thing is, I'm here and you...
Can you believe that? You know, this is what... You know, there are people right now who believe that way with all their heart and with all their mind and with all their soul. So how do we move forward when we have so many people that are willing to vent their rage in this fashion, and we have a person like Donald Trump egging it on? And I cannot believe how calm and cool, collected this postman was. We're going to go to the phones, and we're just going to discuss what we just heard. And again, I'm telling you that this is in the 20th century. You know, this is just a few years ago. So we're still dealing with these types of behaviors and these types of mentalities. Kathy, are you there?
Hey, Mr. Deshay. Yes, I'm here.
Can you believe that?
Of course I can believe that. That's happening right now today. We just don't have audio of it.
But can you imagine how calm that mailman was? I mean, he just stayed. If that was a perfect employee, he was it.
Yeah, but that's the attitude you actually have to have, Mr. Deshay, because it could have went a whole another way. I don't know. Was she talking about her mail, or was she talking about a car?
Yeah, she signed for a certified mail and gave him the slip, and he gave her the mail, and she didn't want the mail. She wanted to give the mail back to him and get her slip back with her signature on it. And of course, once you accept the mail, he can't take it back.
Okay, it was probably some kind of court document for her. That's probably why she wanted to give it back. But
right. That
happens every day, all day. That's nothing new, Mr. Deshay. That's something that happens all the time. He handles that very well, I must say.
That was amazing that he was able to keep his composure, being cursed out, being called the N-word, being told that African Americans were less intelligent, and to sit there and being able to digest that and not become angry, especially after she hit him. I mean, this is an older woman, and she hit this younger man, and he was able not to lash back at her, because it's really difficult for people not to lash back when someone has struck them physically.
Yeah, I think he was at his job, so you know, he probably was thinking about, okay, if I say this or if I do this, this may happen to my job. You know, the lady could have called the police and said, hey, this black guy is attacking me, and then we know that would have been a whole nother story. So, again, I say kudos to that young man because he handles that very, very well.
Yeah, it's amazing that he did. And, you know, we sit there and we wonder, and he had the foresight to videotape it without her knowledge. And she was just a female who had been in trouble before with the law, but it's just striking that she would let all that kind of foul stuff just spew out of her mouth when this man was just trying to do his job. He was just trying to deliver the mail. And certainly we all understand that, you know, you can't, once you sign for a letter, you can't give it back as though you never signed for it.
Right. You're right about that. I mean, you know, again, that happens all the time. Could be a different situation. I remember a report a while back about a lady at a ATM machine, and the guy got mad because she got to the teller before, not the teller, but outside the ATM, and he began to call her all kind of names. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? I mean, just everything, and she don't need to be here and go back to Africa. And she was like, I'm just trying to get money out the machine like you, and I have the right to stand here just like you do, you know. So, you know, you can't be ignorant with ignorant people because, you know, it takes two to be foolish. So we just allow that one person to be a fool, and you continue with what it is that you're supposed to be doing. And as you were talking about Mr. Trump and what's going to happen, you know, we got to have faith and we got to trust and believe that the right person is going to get into office. We can't be worrying about that because we can worry ourselves into the hospital worrying about if this man is going to be our president or not.
But what happens is now you have David Duke and the KKK and white supremacists thinking that it is their time to rise up again, that here there's going to be this change in power, that they can relive some of their glory days and revert back to publicly saying some of the evil things that they feel in their heart. We're going to open the phones up. We have a lot of people out here, and we're going to open the phones up, and we just want to talk about the present-day racism that's going on. Do we feel like people are getting more blatant about their behavior? Audrey, are you there?
Yes, this is Audrey from Lakeland, and I agree that now people are given almost like a pass to really take actions and express themselves in manners in which in the past would not have been as easily acceptable. But they feel confident in doing so without any penalty, without any negative consequences. So, again, as long as we tolerate it, it will be accepted. It's going to be the standard. And people will, again, start taking more and more elevated negative actions against others unless it's stopped with by means of hitting people where it really hurt and making a difference. So whether it's police officers, whether it's community members, whether it's people from previous generation that now feel that this is their time, they may have lost the war and things have changed over the years, but now they feel that this is their revolution, this is their cause. And leadership demonstrates what's tolerated and what's not acceptable. And as you mentioned, I do think there's an alignment or a connection between Trump running for president and his manner. So, unless we implement the rules and regulations to have consequences, I think we're going to see something even worse.
And they seem to be angry or get angry when we display our unhappiness. Here you have a football player in San Francisco, this backup quarterback, who's just trying to make a statement and help them understand what his feelings are. And literally, Donald Trump came on and said, you know, he needs to go lead the country. You know, how often we heard that? When we become upset about something or unhappy about something and we display our unhappiness, then all of a sudden we're not Americans and we need to find another place to live. And so we just have to accept whatever behavior
that is.
That's
an indication of him showing you that if things are not his way, then he will take steps to make things happen. And don't take his statements lightly. And when he say that he will take action to make America great, that's what he's talking about. When people do not align with him, you can see how many times he fired members of his political cabinet and stuff. Whenever someone's not in agreement with him, he take action. And, again, unless people get out to vote and vote in their best interest, you haven't seen anything yet. It'll be a whole different
All
type
right, we're gonna
of slavery.
We're going to continue to go to the phones, and we just want to get everybody to have an opportunity. But I just want to say and go on record, you know, the NFL said they don't have a policy demanding that the players stand up, that they do know that they wish that the players would stand up, but they're not going to take any action. And certainly we all know that most of the time at our jobs, we are not given the opportunity to protest in this fashion. But, you know, this man risking his job because he wants to make a statement. And I applaud the NFL for not trying to change the rules in midstream related to punishment. So we're going to go to phone 2851. 2851, would you like to talk about our present situation related to race relations and what direction are we going and what can we do to stop what seems to be an environment where white America just think they can say anything?
Hello?
Hello, I'm here. Would you like to talk about...
Sure, why not? Yeah, I
would
like to share my opinion, sure. You know, I think the fact that, I think it was yesterday that David Duke announced that he's running for the senator of some state. I can't remember exactly which state it was. I mean, just the fact that he's coming out and they're being, you know, it's no longer that they're being discreet. They're just being straight out about the way they feel. And it's really sad the way that they're stereotyping black people. You know, it's no longer a silent type of unspoken racism in today's day. It's me. It's just straight up. So, and it's really sad.
Yeah, it seems like when they say we're going to make America great again, they want to divert back to a time where they felt comfortable saying or doing anything, and that if we suggest that America has some issues, then we're not being patriotic and we need to leave the country. And again, we've heard those words before. You know, if you're not happy with the way it's going, then hey, why don't you go back to Africa? And if certainly from the vast majority of us, we are born and raised here, so I'm not sure where that go back to Africa comes from.
Exactly.
We're gonna continue to go to the phone line. Thank you. Now stay on, and we'll come back. Regina, how you doing today? We're talking today about race relations and how people are feeling very comfortable with saying things that in the past they kept to themselves. And also, we have a football player who is reacting what he feels is right, and people are burning his jersey and telling him to leave the country. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Kaepernick is
think he has, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He has all right, and I'm really very proud of the way he is taking a stand. As I look, he's really not the only one who has ever taken that stand, and I am very happy to see that he's continuing a legacy of athletes who decided that because of their prominence, they can make a difference in our society. I'm saddened because we still have to take these stances, and society has not gotten better. As far as race relations with people becoming bolder in what they are saying and doing, it's very interesting because just a few minutes ago we were getting in the car and passed by a very nice, had to been a some sort of Benz, Mercedes-Benz, very nice, and on the back of it, it said, Make America Great Again, vote Donald Trump. And oddly enough, the person was there visiting someone who lived in a more or less an undesirable area, and the person he was visiting, you know, what about that person who was Caucasian makes that person so much in such a better position than anybody else? So it's just amazing at how people are doing things and not really thinking.
Well, the danger we have with going back to that time, we know how volatile that our kids are. You know how they are in terms of how they react when people disrespect them. You know, as we get older, we gain a little bit more control and recognize that we have so much to lose. But our young people are in danger of being locked up and put away if someone says the wrong thing to them. Because their response is going to be angry. So how do we keep a lid on what seemingly is going on in our country right now related to this push to go back to a darker time?
And you're right. I find myself having to constantly have conversations or reminder conversations. The first conversation came a few months ago as far as it related to what would happen if my daughter were stopped in a traffic, you know, stopped by the police. Then I had to talk with her as far as what her reaction should be should I or a driver that she may have been riding with be stopped by a police officer. In the beginning, it was a tough conversation to have, very tough, because nothing I said could help her to reason with how she should behave. Very defiant. And we've gotten past that point now, but that's a conversation that all parents or people who have any sort of influence over our young people need to have.
All right, we're going to go to the phone lines and see if anybody, a few of these other individuals want to share their thoughts. 8701, would you like to share your opinion about where you think we are as a country in race relationships, or how do we fight back against these people who want to take us back to an older time?
Well, hey, James, how are you?
Hi.
Well, I think we have gone backwards, and I think that we shouldn't take what's going on lightly. It's going to get worse. until something happens, and we're still trying to figure out the answers on that. I'm continuing on having shows and hearing what people have to say, but it just seems like the resolution is just so far away. There's so much work to do with our people and reprogramming our minds and how we think and how we're getting involved in politics and things like that. So until we get more knowledgeable of what's going on around us, it's going to continue.
And, you know, we have to, as as older adults, we have to safeguard our kids, because, again, we don't want them to fall prey to these people who are out there now willing to say anything to them related to who they are as individuals. I just saw the other day that a school board wanted to tell young girls that they couldn't wear their hair braided. And until the community, they didn't want braids, they didn't want dreads, they didn't want that natural look. And until the community rose up and went to the meeting, they didn't back down. And then so here it is, all of a sudden, they want to be able to control the way we look because they're not happy with it. They feel threatened by it. And anything they feel unhappy and threatened by, they want to somehow kind of outlaw. And so this is going to affect our kids because you know how our kids are not wanting to be controlled. I mean, they don't even like the controls that we put on them in our home. So you know someone outside of their parents, they're going to have a problem with them trying to regulate the way they have their hair or what kind of clothes they're wearing.
Yep, you're right. Absolutely right. It's just a lot of work that we have.
Yeah, we got a lot ahead of us. Okay, I got one more caller here that I hadn't gotten to. Let me reach out to them before we have to take a break.
All right, thank you for having me.
Thanks for calling in. 7265. Would you like to give your opinion about where we are?
Yes, first of all, I would like to say that if we're not careful for what Trump is doing, we're looking towards a dictatorship. That's what that was all about. I would like to commend the quarterback for taking a stand. And to me, our athletes, our people in power, they need to take a platform and follow suit. On the flip side of that, I hate that some of the people that are in those positions, they come on and they disagree with how the football quarterback produced and wants to make his stand. That was his platform. That's the only way that he can get the attention of what is going on. And I think that Steve Barber, on what he had indicated, you know, that it's the American dream, and he didn't agree with it, all that. But everyone doesn't have that same America dream and that way that he has. He's in a good position where he can sit back and he can go negatively and talk on a like a white man's point of view, because you're living that white man's dream. Everyone doesn't have that opportunity to live that. So my accolade goes up to that quarterback for standing up, using his platform to say that I'm sick of it. And look, we need to take a look at this because everyone is not treated under that flag equally the way that they should be. So I wish more people in those type of positions stand up and take a stand because this is the way that we get that attention. But like Andre had indicated earlier, that if we don't watch out, we are looking towards a dictatorship type of president because for a person to tell you that if they don't like it, go back to another country, what is that telling you? It's either my way or the highway. So we don't need a person that has that type of attitude, and that's one-dimensional, to govern the United States of America. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
All right. You're so right. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. I wanted to share another audio with you, and this one's a little different than the first one, but it just gives you an indication how unsafe we are. You know, normally people respect their elders, but certainly this was an incident where a person's age gave them no protection.
The exclusive body cam video of local police pepper spraying an 84-year-old woman.
Turn around and face that way now, or I'll spray you.
You see it there, you right there. You may remember we talked with a woman last week. She says Muskogee officers looking for her son wrongfully attacked her. Fox 23's Eddie Randall is live with reaction from the police department and more of that video. Eddie.
Shay and Clay, we've stayed in touch with Muskogee police since we first interviewed Geneva Smith last week. And although it took some time, police did release this statement, and they also gave us this body camera video.
Now, I'll
spray
you.
An 84-year-old woman pepper sprayed by a Muskogee police officer is what has many people around town talking. Police say this all started while they searched for the woman's son. Police say he ran a stop sign, then refused to stop, then darted into this home. Police say they asked the man to come out, but he refused, so they went in. You can hear police yell for the man to come towards them before they tase him.
Come here! I'm going to tase you! Do it now!
Then out comes his 84-year-old mother, Geneva Smith, who police command to turn around.
Stay there, ma'am!
We counted, and about 40 seconds after the command, they pepper sprayed her, and then she goes down. We talked to her last week, and on Friday, we reviewed the video with the assistant city attorney and sat down with the chief of police, Rex Eskridge, who says the department is working to resolve the situation.
This is a very important issue. There's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of prejudgment going on. There's a lot of concern.
For that reason, he tells me they released the video to be transparent by building on the positive relationship he says police have with the community.
Do you believe the videos show everything?
Videos can't give you the full sense of what happened, but at the same time, they do either validate or expose any warts that you might have.
Police say they still have two officers to interview before they can complete that internal investigation. The chief of police will decide what to do from there. Reporting live this evening in Muskogee.
You know, I just wanted to play that after I heard it because, you know, normally when you have someone 84 years old, what kind of threat can they possibly be to the police when they have nothing in their hand? And these people broke into this woman's home after her son. And after they arrested her son, why would they pepper spray and arrest her? It just seems like there is no control whatsoever when it comes to people, no matter their color, no matter their age. There's just no safety whatsoever. Kathy, what are your thoughts about hearing that?
I'm actually looking at the video right now, James, and it shows when they broke into the house, the guy was standing there, so they tased him. So I don't see why they pepper sprayed the grandmother or his mom.
And you have a mother that age. Now, you know that can be detrimental to her health, her heart, to be handled in that fashion. She literally could have died after being pepper sprayed and placed in handcuffs and taken to jail, and she wasn't even in the car.
Yeah, I just saw them put her in handcuffs. They didn't even ask her if she was all right or anything. But wow.
And so often these are things that happen that we don't even get a chance to see because we're so busy watching when people are being murdered. We don't see the people who are just being mistreated and just mishandled. And I just can't understand. This was a frail woman. This was not even a big woman. I want you all to know she was a very frail woman, probably did not weigh more than 110 pounds, if that.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Audrey, are you still there? Audrey, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. But I think it's another indication of officers not taking control of the situation in layers. Instead, they just jump to, you know, an escalated response. I haven't seen the video, but I just can't imagine why you would go from zero to pepper spraying. And no matter what the age of the lady was, I mean, pepper spray is a form of control, and like you say, get into your system, and its purpose is to, you know, disorient you, to take you down and that type of thing. So why would you use that level of force on a person if indeed they were not interacting with the police or the situation and preventing anything from occurring? I mean, if a person was, I don't know if she was talking to him loudly or using language, I don't know, but that still would not warrant her being pepper sprayed. But, again, I think it's an opportunity for our police officers to be held accountable of what level of force they're using in response to the situation that they're in.
Regina, you live in South Carolina, and you know, I know I have older uncles and aunts in South Carolina. You know, you would think they would be respected and protected. What are your thoughts?
As I've said many times on this broadcast, South Carolina has taken a stance of being proactive more so than reactive. You've not heard a lot of national attention given to incidents which have occurred here. And that's because our police officers, our judicial system works expeditiously to handle situations which occur. Now, that's the initial situations, as I have said. As far as the what happens after the situation, they can drag on and on. But the judicial system acts swiftly to calm things down before they blow up. So a situation like this, I can't say that it would not happen, but I can say that it would definitely be handled quickly as possible, because the powers to be do not want South Carolina to be shown in such a negative light.
All right. Let's go to the phone line, 7265. Would you like to chime in and give us your opinion about having this 84-year-old woman in the house, in a peaceful house, and all of a sudden her house gets broken into, and she gets pepper sprayed and taken to jail when she wasn't even in the car? This was just a traffic stop. What are your thoughts?
I think it's pitiful, really, on behalf of law enforcement. It's ridiculous. It does not make any sense. Training is key. Training is key. A lot of the law enforcement throughout the country now does not have the type of proper training, and I think a lot of them are so trigger finger and so quickly to react. I don't know whether or not they're not teaching them how to remain calm, to read a situation. They're just quick thinking, quick reaction, and that's not key. What happened to the reasoning portion of law enforcement that used to be a long time ago? When I was growing up and a policeman was called out to the community, more or less, they did most of the talking instead of most of the reaction. They read a person because if the other person is already in a hyper 100 up scale, their job is to bring them down towards 50% and reason with them some kind of way. But the law enforcement, I don't know whether or not it's that type of training that they have today or whatever. They're not reading a situation. They're just reacting. I mean, they take it to a different level. They react first and they think later. So I think it's pretty sad.
And right now, we can't say anybody is safe. Will you have any conversation with our young adults about how to respond or react when police officers, when they meet with police officers. But if police officers are willing to pepper spray 84-year-olds and put them in jail for just being in their house, then nobody's really protected.
You got
8701, give us your opinion. What are your thoughts about this 84-year-old woman being pepper sprayed and taken to jail, and she was just at home? What charge could they possibly have against her? She was just in her house. Are you there? Well, you know, one of the things I sit and think about, even with the older gentleman who got tased, when he got tased, he had his hands up, and they tased him anyway. They didn't even try to approach him and put his hands behind his back. The fact that he refused to come out of the house, and even though he had his hands up, he got tased. And so, you know, you have to really think about, it just seems one person spoke about maybe the training, but it just seems that they're willing and determined to use maximum force no matter what the situation. Kathy, are you there? I guess everybody's listening to me right now. That's okay. But we just
Audrey's here. I would just like to say that, you know, my mother is 97 years old, and our parents are all dear to us no matter what age. And I tell you what, if you wanted to get me really upset, you have someone to do something against her in a negative way. I'm not even talking about to the level of pepper spraying her. I'm talking about anything negative. I mean, just like when we were being raised, you know, our parents, you know, took care of us and protected us and would make sure that if anything occurred, they would handle it and take care of it. Now that our generation is now in reverse roles and we're taking care of our parents as they live longer, again, it's not something that should be tolerated. Joyce had mentioned the training, and that's a component of it. But once they are trained, they have the choice to make. It goes back to their making a choice. And I believe that the training is there. I think they're just choosing to make these decisions because they're not being penalized, or they're not seeing others being penalized when they're not making good choices. And as long as people are not being penalized, you're going to continue to see it, and you're going to see it at a heightened level.
And I think that's what that football player was saying, too. You know, we know that the moment they use their guns, they use excessive force, they get 2 or 3 weeks off. So they get 2 or 3 weeks off on vacation, and then they're brought back to their job, and they say nothing was done. Here in Orlando, we had a gentleman who was handcuffed sitting on the curb, and he got kicked 4 or 5 times in a row where the police officer just took his leg and took it back as far as he could take it and kicked this young man in the face, in the head, while he was sitting on the curb. And the police took no action against him. And, in fact, when the gentleman went to court, he was charged with a felony. So not only are people going to jail after they're being mistreated, there's nothing happened to the police officer, and you're so right. That gives them a pass to think they can do it again when there's no, you know, when you say no harm, no foul, it just opened the floodgate for a lot of bad cops to act in that fashion. And we have to, at some point, just lay the law down and say, no, we're not going to accept this behavior anymore.
Well, where else can you get a paid vacation or paid time off for misbehavior? And then when it's all said and done, you just come back and pick up as if nothing happened. I mean, if you want to get a paid vacation, the way it is appearing in a lot of instances, go kill someone black. And then that way they'll give you time, paid off time, investigate it, and then you just make sure that you say, I fear for my life. And I think that's the level in which I should have controlled that situation. Oh, okay then. Go take this time off, get paid for it, and then come on back, and we'll go on from there.
You're so right. And, Regina, you and I both are in the school system, and we know that's not the way it goes in the school system. If we mistreat one of those children, we're going to get suspended, and we may never make our way back. And we're going to always have that stigma over our head. Regina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What about the way we're treated in the school system related? We're told not to even put our hands on children.
Well, it has even gone a little further than that. In one school system here in the United States, if to a child harshly, then that can be considered verbal corporal punishment. But getting back to the consequences for things that happen, we are punished, and then questions are asked later. And after those questions have been asked, then if we are found not guilty, our credibility is already ruined. So as educators, that's how we are treated. We are immediately escorted off of the campus, and then the investigation starts. So, and there's no, you may be at home with no pay for a few days, maybe 3 days, but then after that it goes to no pay, and you know that you're going to lose your job then. So agree with no harm, no foul, and a lot of these officers see that they will be returned back to their job. Once they are returned back to their job, a civil lawsuit may still be pending, but the criminal aspect of what they did has been cleared. And the civil lawsuit will be paid, the monies for that, if they lose that case, will be paid by the citizens of whatever municipality the act occurred in. So they figure it's no money coming out of their pocket. Hey, you know, the state will pay them off, and I'll take this chance. I'll take this risk. I'm going to get my lick in on this one here.
And it's amazing that these kind of things continue to happen over and over and over again. Again, here in Orlando, we had a 80-some-year-old man who got a hundreds of thousands judgment where the police officer literally nearly broke his neck. And the police officer was telling me he was in danger, telling me you can get hurt by an 18-year-old just like you can get hurt by an 80-year-old. And these citizens, again, he kept his job, and the older guy won a judgment of $200,000 or $300,000, again, paid by the taxpayer. And the police officer gets off scot-free.
That is what is happening. As I said, even here in South Carolina, they quickly squashed the public image of what is happening. But what folk do not see is the continued continued stuff that goes on after the initial, again, you find these police officers back on duty. The victim is still victimized. They get a settlement, but the police officers are right back on duty to do what they did again. And many times you don't even find out that they had this crime until they do something else. And then you look at their background information and you see where they were charged with something, but the charges were dropped.
You're so right. Let's go and see if we're at the last few minutes of the show. 9751, do you want to share your opinion in regards to where we are at in terms of police brutality and the situation where citizens seem not to have any recourse?
Good evening. Good evening. I'm just actually listening. I've seen so much across the media, and I've seen some great things that have not been covered. But the things that have been covered has been such an enormous amount of brutality. And, you know, at the end of the day, people's lives are real. We all bleed the same color blood. And it's unrealistic that these people, you know, people are getting killed and no one's having the answer for it, no repercussions for it. So I think that, personally, I think that, you know, they should be able to, families should be able to do something civilly or something. I mean, because you're seeing people using their phones and capturing this. So the fact that they can get off is just, you know, it's just mind-blowing that they can get off. And as she said,
and
in the school,
didn't you hear the chief of police? You hear the chief of police making excuses. Well, the video don't tell the whole story. What do you mean the video don't tell? Before, if it was in that, if the video showed one of us with a gun, then there wouldn't be no problem with the video. But when the video shows them totally in the wrong, then the video don't tell the whole story.
Yeah, I recently saw one yesterday where the guy kind of pretty much put his stuff on the ground, and, I mean, they still were, like, handling them forcefully, and one came from out of nowhere and came and kicked him in the head, and it was like, oh, my goodness. I don't remember where that one was located or how I saw it. I saw it on social media, but it's heartbreaking because at the end of the day, that is someone's child. Regardless of your color, that is a person's child. That is someone's husband. That is someone's brother. And, you know, it's barbaric. It's barbaric.
It truly is. And we have to at some point recognize that we have to change direction. We have to make people understand. And like the football player is saying, you know, we got to step up. We got to step up and voice our opinion and let people know that we can no longer continue to be handled in this fashion without somebody paying a price. And we don't want police officers to be shot. Nobody wants the lawlessness of police officers being hurt. But we want our lives to be respected and treated in a fashion that we're respected and we're treated like first-class citizens. We're going to take our last break, and then we'll come back and close out the show.
We're gonna make it.
Beauty is truly found beyond the symmetry of a nice face or perfect teeth. It's beyond smooth curves or huge muscles. It's created deep within the texture of the skin, where physical attributes have no value. Beauty is discovered where the spirit resides, created by the pressure of daily trauma and unhappy events. It's made strong by inspiration and warm, intense moments of joy. Beauty captivates the dreams of those who seek more than fine thighs and behinds. True beauty can't be confined to words that describe the flesh, because the Creator hid the essences of beauty inside the eternal being. What's displayed on the outside is no match to that that radiates from within. We have to start searching for the treasure that exists below the surface to discover the true beauty of mankind. When you feel your voice is not being heard, please consider calling the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. The show wants to be the vehicle you can use to express your opinion or get your issue out to a larger audience. We're living in a time that we can no longer allow others to speak on our behalf. If you wish to be a guest on the show and discuss on the show what's important to you, call James T. Deshay at 407-394-9819. Your issue or focus can be placed on the calendar. The show is live 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadow of life. It's imperative that we're on top of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future.
All right. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Take care.